So at 12 minutes past two, let's turn ourselves green for a little while on the programme today. As I welcome my first guest, sitting alongside me is Keith Farnish. Self-described, I guess, as a green campaigner, but he's written books on the subject and sometimes becomes a little bit obsessive with it. I think that's fair to say, wouldn't you, Keith?
Well, I think it's only natural when you see what's going on. I mean, if I spent years studying what's happening to the planet, and if you don't get obsessed with it, it gets very upsetting.
I think for most people, Keith, we have an awareness of the issues and the problems, and we've been hearing so many people talking about litter on BBC Essex today, mm-hmm. which is, you know, just one element. But how does one become, like you have, you know, so involved in the subject? What happened to make you become so involved?
We're definitely more aware. We've got the information, but I think most of us don't know what to do with it. The thing that changed it for me was really just... I think it's just a case of sort of connecting with something. And it's unique for everyone. I just suddenly realised that there was more to it than sort of having a job and going to work, going and buying stuff, travelling around everywhere. Something, I'm not sure exactly what, but something clicked and just said to me, I really care about this whole thing. There's more to it than just selfishness.
More than saving the planet?
Well, I can't save the planet myself.
Was there something in your own life that triggered it?
Some of the people I've known, I've talked to for a long time. I'm friends with some road campaigners down in Southend. They run, I don't know if you've heard of Camp Bling.
Yes.
But they live there in a community, and they're very connected with the piece of land they're trying to look after. And when you go down there, and it's, although you can hear the traffic and it's very loud at times, it's peaceful in a way, and there's trees around you, there's the of land under your feet, you see things growing. And that's a connection that we all seem to lose.
Yeah, but for most of us, Keith, we go through life, and okay, some of us at differing levels have concerns about the environment, have concerns about the planet, and I think most people listening to the programme today, you know, have concerns at a certain level. But you have concerns at a very high level. What's made you different from the rest of them?
I don't know. I don't think I'm a lot different from everyone.
Went to school the normal way?
Yeah, I went to university, I had a job, I was an IT... I'd worked in IT for 15 years, but all the time something was niggling in my head. And a lot of it was frustration. The reason I ended up writing my book is out of frustration. I saw books that are out there and read them, and I thought, well, nothing there actually solves it. Nothing there actually makes sense that's actually going to work. So I thought... Well,
so all the initiatives that we're hearing from government down through local authorities, you don't think they're doing enough?
Well, government's all about sustaining the economy. I mean, they purport to care about people, but really only in terms that people are workers, in terms that people go to work and they earn money for the economy. And because government... The corporations are so powerful. Corporations... have so much power over the way governments work, and you can see this across the world, that ultimately government policies are going to be aimed to what corporations want. I can't see it any other way, that we're living in a life that we've been forced to live, and we just need to step outside of that.
Get out of the box.
Get out of the box, get out of the machine.
Your book is called Time's Up. And probably come back to government before you leave us today. Mm-hmm. But all I'll say at this stage is that I'm sure that, you know, for most of the people working in politics, they're as passionate about their views as you are with your views. You know, there's a lot of convincing to do, isn't there?
I'm sure they are. I'm not going to try to convince any politicians or any people who work in businesses except as individual people. And while you're a politician, you do political stuff. When you work in a company, you work for that company. But as an individual, everyone's got the potential to do something really different. I don't think what I say is going to appeal to more than a small percentage, but I think that's all that's important at the moment, because ultimately most people aren't ready to make that big change, and it's got to happen gradually.
Many campaigners are saying that, you know, the time is running out. Very, very fast.
Yes.
And unless we make changes fairly quickly, you know, we are going to suffer in you know, in years to come. I suppose that's the basis of your book, Time's Up. You're suggesting that it's even, you know, tighter than that.
There's two meanings to it, really. Time's up, as you said, The climatic systems are going into overdrive. We're going into feedback loops where the ice is melting and the Earth is sucking up more heat. We're emitting more carbon dioxide and methane. All of that's leading to all these huge environmental catastrophes, plus deforesting the Earth, releasing methane from peat, all of that stuff. But also, time's up also means that time is up for civilization. As far as I'm concerned, it's failed, and we've got to find something better.
Interesting concept, isn't it? What do you think about what Keith is saying on the programme today? Is he right? Do we need a complete change of direction here? Or can we cope as we are by making changes gently and subtly? I don't know. 01245 49 50 50. You can text 07786 20 1035. Drop me an email, steve.scruton@bbc.co.uk. If you want to join in, you're more than welcome. Mika reckons we've got a happy ending.
This is the way you left me. I'm not pretending. No hope, no love, no glory, no happy ending.
Mika and happy ending. 22 minutes past two. It's BBC Essex for a Tuesday afternoon. With my guest sitting alongside me is Keith Varnish, a Green campaigner. His book is called Time's Up. And he's got pretty revolutionary theories to put forward. He has put them forward in the book. And we're just exploring. We're skimming the surface, quite frankly, this afternoon. We can't sort out, you know, the future of the planet in 5 minutes on BBC Essex. That's not going to happen. But we can all talk about it, and we can all formulate opinions. Malcolm from Epping's been on already, Keith, and he wants to know why you think that this civilization has failed. He says, hasn't every civilization failed? Or is this just a process of evolution?
I think this civilization is, well, I know this civilization is the biggest one there's ever been. It's the most pervasive, it's across the entire globe. All civilizations fail eventually, because a civilization involves taking stuff from the outside and bringing it in. So civilization comes from the word that means city. So you live in a city, everything you've got has to come from outside of that. So you take the resources, and eventually those resources run out and the civilization collapses. But we haven't, because this civilization, which I call an industrial civilization, covers the entire globe, well, there is no other planet. So you can't take stuff from outside of Earth. So eventually it's all got to collapse if we keep going.
Well, some could even argue with that and say that there are other planets. It's just, we got time to get there and tap into their resources?
Are you prepared to take a shot on that?
Well, scientists are saying, and with all the stars in the skies, there must be other planets like Earth up there somewhere.
Well, at most, we're going to send a few people out there to explore, and some people might escape, but why not give ourselves a better chance that we can survive on Earth? And it might not be possible with the billions of people we've got, but certainly we can have a go.
It's all very deep at the moment. Let's come back to litter, because we've been talking a lot about litter on BBC Essex today, and the problem of disposing of the litter, stopping people chucking litter. Where do you stand on that, Keith? What's your take on it?
Litter's a symptom of society. It's about the way people think and what they do with their stuff. So there's two reasons that people throw litter away. The first is there's so much potential for litter anyway. So if you go to a fast food restaurant and you want a cup of coffee, you get a coffee, you'll get a thing that goes around the coffee, you get a lid, you get a stirrer, you get some sugar to go in it, you get a pot of milk. There's about six bits of litter straight away. So litter is in society. But also, and I think more importantly, is because we don't care about where we're throwing it. And there's a country park near to where I live, and I spend quite a lot of time there just listening to the birds and walking through it and just appreciating it. Most people go through it on their way somewhere, so they haven't connected with anything that's there. They're going through, it's irrelevant to them. And I picked up a bag full of litter from there yesterday while I was walking round, and those people have just, it's just another place they can throw things.
If you see somebody discarding litter, we've had a lot of discussion on this. I mean, are you the kind of guy that will go up to somebody and remind them of their obligation, or do you just allow it to happen and pick it up on their behalf?
My wife would rather I didn't, because there have been confrontations. I'm getting more passive about it because I know it's not worth it. If someone's throwing something out, then really I'm not going to change their mind.
You see, that concerns me, the attitude of if you're saying it's not worth it, And you're telling, you know, the rest of us that we need to be more mindful about green issues. A lot of people might turn around and say exactly that. It's not worth it. There's not a lot we can do about it. You know, time is, evolution is as it is. We all need to go to work to earn money. You know, your sentiment is great, but they might say it's just not worth it.
Well, it's whether you care. I mean, ultimately, it's about what matters to you. And you can't change anyone forcibly. You can only change yourself, really. Or maybe you can influence friends and family, the people closest to you. And if you're a teacher, then perhaps you have a bit more influence over people. But really, ultimately, you've got to change yourself. So I pick up other people's litter. I'd rather not get into a confrontation with someone who's throwing litter, because if someone's got a knife or whatever, then I'm not going to be able to carry on doing what I do. So you've just got to take a view on it, really.
26 minutes past. Let's find out what's happening on the road. Cracking song. 29 minutes to 3. It's BBC Essex with Steve. We're talking about green issues with Keith Farnish this afternoon. And again, if you want to join in, it's not too late to have your say. Do you think Keith's right? Do you think he's over-egging the pudding? A lot of people, Keith, do say that there's a little more time than some scientists are suggesting, and maybe we're cracking on with this a little faster than we need to. And then there are others who say, it's like you, time's run out, never mind running out.
I know a few scientists who are saying that it definitely has run out and we can only make the best of what we've got now. I mean, there are some fantastic scientists out there doing research that we never hear about. Some scientists, and they're genuine scientists, have been funded in the past by oil companies, and I mean, I could reel a few names off, but I won't. But there are other people who are really just scared of what might happen, and denial is an incredibly powerful thing. You don't want something to happen, so you keep saying it, and it doesn't feel like it.
Well, obviously, we don't have those people here to defend, you know, their views, but I can't imagine that everybody is jumping on that same bandwagon. There's always an argument in any case, isn't there?
Oh, you can't prove anything in science, really, but you can make some very good assumptions about what's happening, and you can look at the evidence. And if it's not caused by carbon dioxide and methane and nitrous oxide, then it's happening anyway. So we've got to find the cause, and it's certainly not sunspots. It's something far bigger. And as far as we know it, it's caused by what we're doing.
It's literally caused by man. And I think most people are on board now. It's just the level of passion, I guess, that we all devote to it and how much time we give to it. One of your more revolutionary views, Keith, though, is that we should all live life in a very different way. And you're making certainly a personal attempt at doing this. For example, you said today that you used public transport. And you're doing your best to not have too much of a carbon footprint, I guess. Is that your personal take on this? You are still wearing, you know, quite a nice shirt, though, which you've obviously bought. And I mean, but we do have to wear clothes.
Well, most everything I'm wearing is second-hand, actually.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, give me the name of the second-hand shop you use. It's very good.
Oh, I get things from eBay and charity shops and all sorts of things. I mean, probably a third of it is about your environmental impact. It's directly what you do. So, for instance, we have very little heating in our house. We've got a wood burner. We're trying to grow a lot more of our own food. Our transport emissions are almost zero. That kind of thing. We're vegetarian, which has a huge impact on all sorts of greenhouse gases. Other things, I talked about connecting, and that is really critical as well. But the other thing is about making sure that the industrial system doesn't try and keep you doing what you're doing. And I talk about these tools of disconnection in the book, about different ways to keep you disconnected. And if we need to find a way of getting rid of those, and I do suggest various methods for getting rid of those tools of disconnection. And
what about the family, Keith? What about your children? I know you've got children and your wife. I mean, are they supportive, or are they going along with you on this?
They're
or is there some rebellion?
Yeah. I don't think there's rebellion. It's about how you talk about it. Give your family facts. I mean, I talk to my children very openly about everything, and really they've made their minds up for themselves. Why should I rush anyone? As I said, you can't force someone to believe something. They have to make their minds up for themselves. But if I can talk to my family openly about something and let them make up their own minds, then that's a good thing. But we're not going to rush off to some croft somewhere straight away, because we've still got links with the world we're in at the moment.
Do you think, though, if everybody took up with your view and did that, became self-sufficient and all had a bit of land and they grew their own food and we lived our lives in that way, I'm a bit concerned there might not be enough space for all of this to go on as well.
There'll be more space. I did a calculation and it works out that providing we don't get all of our stuff from miles and miles away, which is what we're doing at the moment, if we grow everything ourselves or in a community setting, you only need about 7% of the land on Earth, even for 6.7 billion people. And that is minute compared to the amount of land on Earth that we're affecting, and the sea as well. I mean, I'm just talking about land. The fisheries are being destroyed at the moment, and a huge amount of our food could come from the sea, but because it's on an industrial scale, then we're just destroying it.
Clearly, this is not going to happen tomorrow, and my guess is not in my lifetime and probably not in yours, because the changes you're suggesting almost means that half of the population of this country is going to have to move then to get this land, because there won't be enough space in these, you know, people born in this part of the world, they're not going to be able to do that, are they?
Britain's a very overcrowded island. There probably is space, but it's not... I don't think the current population is sustainable. So, I mean, it's not sustainable the way we live now. But in 1982, one organisation called the Optimum Population Trust, they worked out that that's where we passed sustainability. We couldn't support any more people in the current way we're living. We've gone well past that. Now we have to take our impacts right down. But by doing that, that also means that we don't have this growth economy either, which ultimately will mean that civilization doesn't have so much of a hold over us.
There's several arguments coming out of that one, and we haven't got all day to discuss this, but are you suggesting some sort of birth control then, and maybe some sort of cull in order to get rid of the number of people that are out there?
I certainly wouldn't suggest a cull, but I mean, birth control is very important. Absolutely. And we still have a growing population, and I do believe in birth control. I do believe we have to limit the number of people we have on Earth, but I don't believe we need to start saying, that's it, you've got to sacrifice your lives for this. I mean, we're looking towards that happening with us not doing anything at the moment, and I want to make it a nice soft landing rather than this terrible end we're looking at.
I told you he was revolutionary. I told you he had strong views. Keith Farnish, my first guest this afternoon. The book is called Time's Up. And if you'd like to tap into his thoughts, pick up a copy. There's also lots of information online. For example, if you go to the website www.timesupbook.com, you'll get some information about the book there, Keith. And also the Earth blog is something that you're pretty keen on contributing to quite frequently.
That's right.
And again, there's a website for that, the three Ws, theearthblog.org. And again, you can catch some of Keith's comments there. Keith, thank you for that. Interesting, thought-provoking, if nothing else, I think, to start us off today. Sitting alongside Keith, Kat Rhodes is with me in the studio. Kat is our vet this afternoon to offer you some sound advice. Kat, I saw you frowning a bit when Keith was talking there about some of his thoughts and ideas. It's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it?
I think it's fairly radical stuff, and I think I would tend to agree with you that I think it's going to... I can see certainly the value in what you're saying, but I'm not sure how we'll ever get to that point. It's such a radical change and will require so many real changes within society. I'm not sure that it's something that realistically we're ever going to reach. I think it's one of those nice sort of ideas, but whether we'll actually ever get there, I wouldn't like to be 100% on that.
We shall see. Keith's going to keep banging on about it, though, for probably the rest of his days to try and get us to change our ways. Keep us in touch, Keith, with how things are going.